Hare Krishna. I wish to offer my gratitude to everyone who has so kindly assembled today on this auspicious occasion of Dasera. Today, all over the world, there are millions and millions of people celebrating this day. But like most spiritual occasions, not so many know why. It is a characteristic of Kali Yuga that even very sacred things are perceived very superficially. Oftentimes, religious festivals of all religions are more of an opportunity for some sort of social entertainment than for genuinely cultivating love of God, which is the purpose of every great religion and the purpose of every spiritual observance. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells, Srama eva hi kevalam. Whatever occupation we perform, whatever spiritual activities we do, if in the end it does not awaken within us a deep attraction to hear about, to chant about, to serve and to love God, then we've missed the point. We have wasted our time. Today, Lord Sri Ramchandra is being remembered for his killing of Ravana. Interesting, just a few blocks away is the house of Mahatma Gandhi, where he lived. In fact, when the British police were coming to arrest him, he came right onto this property and hid in the Lakshmi Narayan temple. And the pujari locked the door from outside, and the soldiers searched this entire building, even the room we're sitting in today. But they had no idea he was in the temple, which was locked. Apparently the deities were sleeping. And he escaped. So he is well known throughout the world as a proponent of nonviolent revolution, not to resort to violence. And he's also well known at the time of his death, when he was assassinated, he chanted the name of Ram. So ultimately Ram was his shelter. And how did Ram deal with the situation? He killed Ravana. Is this a contradiction? We understand this principle that when the absolute truth, who is perfect, performs his pastimes, it is all perfect. It is ultimately far greater than nonviolence. In fact, it's the ultimate perfection of nonviolence. An example. This example comes to my mind very quickly because I just had surgery 1 week ago. And still the effects of it are upon me. If somebody has a very, very serious life-threatening disease and a surgeon cuts the person open with a knife and then takes out the disease and kills it, is that violence or nonviolence? It's actually saving a life. But the difference is when the Supreme Lord, whatever he does is for everyone's ultimate benefit. Ravana was liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Ram killed his ignorance, his illusion, his ego. And in doing so, he protected all the innocent people within the world. And also facilitated the whole world to perfect their lives. So Ram Vijayotsava is the festival of Ram's victory. His victory of love over hate. His victory of compassion over envy. Of truth and light over illusion and darkness. Ravana was terrorizing this world. And he stole the consort of Lord Ram, Sita. But how Ram performed this wonderful act of liberating Ravana was very, very instructive. Instructive in the sense that it really revealed the heart of the Lord intimately. The Lord's love for his devotees. Because at every step, Lord Sri Ram was giving credit to his devotees more than himself. And even when he did something, he staged it in such a way that it was due to the blessings of his devotees. This is a very important lesson, because what keeps us in this world is our very deep-rooted tendency to take credit for what we do, to take credit for what we don't do, to give blame for what we do. This is ahankar. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudharma karataham itimani. That the bewildered soul, under the delusion of the false ego, thinks him or herself to be the doer of their activities. But actually, within this material creation, everything is being done by the influence of the three modes of material nature. And beyond that, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the controller of material nature. So we want to take credit, we want to give blame, but when the Lord descends in this world, he's very eager to give credit. To those who are pure in heart. During the Battle of Sri Lanka, first of all, just to get to Sri Lanka, I'm afraid I'm going to go back to the beginning, but when Ram was searching for Sita, he knows everything. Past, present, and future. He's in and between every atom as the Paramatma. He's within the heart of every living being. There's nothing he does not know. But yet he's asking everybody, where is Sita? And when he went to Kishkindha Kshetra, he made allies with Sugriva, Angada, Hanuman, Jambavan, to help him to find Sita, and then to help him to rescue Sita. Does he need our help? Factually, all of these Vanaras, or all of these monkey soldiers, they could only see, they could only hear, they could think, they could move, they only live because of the power of God within them. He's giving them all power. And then he's coming and saying, I need your help. Because the Lord is Rasaraj. Or let us say Rasabihari, we're in Bombay. He takes joy in loving relationships. So while he was on that Malyavanta mountain, waiting for 4 months, chanting Sita's names and meditating on her in separation in his heart, and meanwhile Sita, the supreme goddess of fortune, is in the Ashok groves, at least her expansion is there, in Sri Lanka, apparently imprisoned by Ravana. How is this possible? And then the various monkeys were searching and searching and searching everywhere. And Ram was just waiting, waiting, waiting. And ultimately, when they were given proper direction, Hanumanji, with one jump, he jumped 800 miles across the Indian Ocean to Sri Lanka. And then with one jump, he came back after doing his seva. He gave Sita the message. He destroyed the Ashoka Grove, which was the favorite place of Ravana. And then he met Ravana face to face and gave him what he wanted to say. Good warning. And then he burned the city down, at least the vast portion of it. And then after jumping back, he came back and he met Ram. And Ram, with tears of love, embraced him. Ram told Hanuman that I am forever indebted to you for what you have done. And from Hanumanji's side, he was 100% absolutely certain that it was only by Ram's power and grace that I could do anything. It's love. It's the interaction of love on this spiritual platform. The Lord is giving credit to his devotee, and his devotee takes no credit for himself. He's giving all credit to the Lord. Our tendency of friendship is we like to boast of what we have done to our friends. But real love is not like that. Real love is in serving. Real love is in pleasing one another on the spiritual platform. So when Lord Ramchandra came to the shore of the ocean, a little later on in the next yuga, he's going to reveal his Virat Rupa, his universal form. Now what could Ravana do standing before that Virat Rupa? And in the past, he already killed Ravana in his past birth as Lord Nrsimhadev. No problem. He already killed Ravana's brother in his past birth as Hiranyaksha, as Lord Varahadev. So Ram could manifest those forms if he wants. What is the problem? But he's asking, how am I going to cross over the ocean? So Vibhishan says, you should perform a little tapasya and ask the ocean. So he's sitting there for days, fasting, to get the blessings of the ocean. And the ocean doesn't come. The personification of the ocean. So he's taking a very humble position. But he understands he's the Paramatma in the heart of the presiding deity of the ocean. He was proud. So Lord Ram took one arrow and he just pulled it back and it created such heat that the entire ocean started boiling over instantly. Now, for us to boil a pot of water takes a few minutes to bring it to a boil. This is the Lord's power. In a second, he can bring the entire ocean to a boil. And the aquatics were screaming, and then the ocean personified came out with folded palms and surrendered and says, please forgive me, whatever you want. And he said, you can make a bridge over me. So Ram walked 800 miles on that bridge. Hanuman jumped over it in a few seconds. Maybe not a few seconds, but quite quickly. He's a very fast flyer. So Ramchandra walks with Lakshman, and Hanumanji's one jump. And when they get to Sri Lanka, tremendous battle. One of the world's greatest of all battles. At one time, Indrajit came out to fight. Indrajit is the eldest son of Ravana. And most
powerful personality in battle. One Indrajit today could probably defeat all the armies in the world. Seriously. Without a doubt. He was that mystically empowered. If Indrajit went to Kashmir, he would just say, because he was a crooked person, he would say, who's going to bribe me the best? And then that's the end of the war. Very powerful person. So he was fighting against all of this Ram's armies and Lakshman, and he became so angry. He chanted these mystical yogic mantras and started shooting arrows. And from these arrows came serpents. And the arrows completely covered Ram and Lakshman. And they fell to the ground and they appeared to have lost their lives. And Hanuman and Jambavan and Angada and Sugriva, they were also covered by all these arrows. They were all just laying there. It appeared that they were dead. And Indrajit, he was convinced that they were all dead. So he just laughed and went back to Sri Lanka and told Ravana, war's finished, I've killed them. Enjoy Sita. And Ravana was very happy. So he told Trijata, who was one of the, you could say, caretakers of Sita, said, bring her in a celestial airplane, show her how Ram and Lakshman are dead. And she did that. And Sita was weeping and crying, and Trijata said, actually, they're not dead. Nobody could kill them. It's just a temporary thing. So meanwhile, while Jambavan and Hanuman are crying, they don't know what to do. They're really crippled, and Rama and Lakshman are just laying there, completely covered by these mystical snake arrows. Suddenly, a big wind is felt by everyone. Then appears Garuda. And as soon as Garuda appears, he just flaps his wings and just gazes very angry at those arrows. And immediately all those snake arrows just released Ram, released Lakshman, and released everybody else and disappeared. And Garuda said to Ram and Lakshman, he said, those, by his mystic power, Indrajit was able to invoke the sons of Kadru to appear, these snakes, as arrows. But because they're afraid of me, just by my presence, they all went away. So here's an example of Ram and Lakshman apparently completely defeated in a helpless state, and Garuda saves them. But then Garuda says to Ram and Lakshman, he says, thank you for accepting my service. Now I'm going to be in the sky watching you as you annihilate Ravana and all of his people. So he was in no illusion. Garuda is the Lord's eternal, menial, obedient servant. Whenever the Lord calls for Garuda, Garuda is there to take the Lord anywhere and take any order from the Lord.
But interestingly, Krishna, he became like the Garuda for Arjuna. He became Arjuna's chariot driver, taking orders from his own devotee. So because Garuda, no ego, with pure love, simply serves, the Lord takes a position out of love, out of intimacy, of being depending on Garuda. Krishna is hungry, and he's asking Yashoda Mai for her milk. Now, factually, Krishna is the cause of all causes. That means he's the cause of all milk. Every mother breast, whether it's human or cow or elephant or camel or buffalo, whatever milk, it's only by Krishna's divine arrangement. He's the cause of all causes. But yet, out of the intimacy of love, he's crying. He's depending on Yashoda Mai to nourish him. This is Leela. Leela is the highest revelation of the Absolute Truth. Because beyond even liberation is the intimate, ecstatic relationships of love between the Lord and his devotees. And this love is completely transcendental to material conceptions. How is God crying for a mother's milk? At one time, all of us were crying for our mother's milk. But now we're grown up. If any of us now cry for our mother's milk, what will everyone else think about us? It's like if Krishnananda starts crying for his mother's milk, right? We'll think, what's wrong with this person? He's crying out Radharani's name. He's crying out for the true milk of Radharani's mercy. But here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead crying for mother's milk. And when there's lightning, he's running to Mother Yashoda crying, please protect me. Our great acharyas explain how it's only by the mercy of the Lord that one can actually understand these spiritual subjects. To some extent, we can rationally, intellectually, philosophically try to comprehend it. But really, it's only by grace that we can really connect to these truths. And because one gets the grace of someone like Srila Prabhupada, it's so easy to understand it. Yes? It's so easy to understand it. Others think that either it's mythology, because it's just not possible by our material calculation. Or others may think that it's not mythology, but, you know, the all-pervading, impersonal, absolute temporarily takes these little roles where he's, you know, within material conditionings and he's crying for his mother's milk, but although he's all-powerful, But that's just a temporary little arrangement that he's just showing a little display, and then
ultimately he's Brahman. But we learn from the Acharyas
that Krishna's eternally like this with his mother. And he's the source of Brahman. It's very beautiful. And then later on in the battlefield, Vibhishan. Vibhishan was the best friend of his elder brother, Ravana. He actually loved Ravana, because he was a pure devotee. When you're a pure devotee, you love everyone, even your enemies. He didn't see anyone as enemy. Prahlad Maharaj, that was his opposition of the way the school was teaching him. That you are saying this is your friend and this is your enemy, and this is how to deal with your friends and this is how to deal with your enemies. But from my side, there are no friends and enemies. This is all relative. Everyone's a spirit soul. Everyone's a brother and sister. Prahlad loved everyone. Prahlad loved Hiranyakashipu. He was the only one in the world that actually loved Hiranyakashipu. You know, Hiranyakashipu's other associates, they may have feared him. They may have had affection for him on the basis of mental or sensual acquisition or enjoyment. But Prahlad actually loved him. That's why when Hiranyakashipu would give somebody an order, everybody, even the demigods, would obey him, even though they knew he was wrong. But Prahlad, when he was given an order by his father, Prahlad would offer his obeisances to his father, and very respectfully, in perfect Sanskrit, he would tell his father, "You are a demon, and you are completely an illusion. In fact, you're in a deep, dark well, Andakupam, where there's no water, there's only suffering. It's such a shameless condition of yours. You should go to Vrindavan and surrender to Krishna." That is love. And Hiranyakashipu tried to murder Prahlad for saying those things in so many ways. And then after doing all that, he asks Prahlad, "You know, where do you get your powers from?" And he says, "Same place you get yours from Vishnu." Such love. He had no bad feelings. And then even after Lord Narasimhadev liberated, he ended his life, Prahlad, he didn't say, you know, "He was so cruel, let him burn in hell." He was praying, "If you want to give me any benediction, give my father liberation." Such love. That was Vibhishan. He was always giving Ravana, with all respect and honor, good advice. And when he continued to tell him to give Sita back to Ram and how he was going to be annihilated with his entire dynasty, ultimately Ravana was going to kill him. But because he was his brother, he basically totally rejected Vibhishan, and Vibhishan left and took shelter of Ram. And here's Ravana's brother. There's that beautiful story where Sugriva saw Vibhishan. Now, please understand, he's really a giant person. He's Ravana's brother. He's also Kumbhakarna's brother. And Suparnaka's brother. So when he was in the sky, he also flew over the ocean with two of his ministers. They didn't need a bridge. They just chanted a mantra and said, "We want to see Ram. And we want to surrender to Ram." And Ram asked everyone's advice, and Sugriva said, "We should kill this rascal. He's Ravana's brother. We should reject him." And everybody else was saying the same thing. Then Ram asked Hanuman, "What do you think?" He said, "I saw his face. He looks very sincere. We should accept him as one of our own family." And Ram said, "I like what you said, Hanuman." And Sugriva, who's the commander in chief, he was really feeling, "What are you saying? Blood is very thick. He might be angry with his brother now, but ultimately he's his brother. He's a Rakshasa by race. And when things get heated and complicated in the battle, how can we possibly trust him that he's going to go against his own brother? He has to be rejected. He has to be killed." And then Ram spoke his famous words, that "I proclaim today that if anyone, even one time, says to me that I am yours, whoever they are, I promise to protect them forever. I will accept that person as my own. Even if Ravana today came to me with those words, I would accept him. I proclaim these words for all time, for all people to hear. Bring Vibhishan here." Sugriva started to cry. He said, "Ram, you are so merciful. He is now part of our family." And through the battle, Lord Ramchandra was always getting advice from Vibhishan how to deal with certain situations. When they were fighting with Ravana, he was so angry with Vibhishan, he wanted to kill him. He started battling against Vibhishan. And Vibhishan really didn't have a chance. So Lakshman came between them and started fighting against Ravana. And every time Ravana threw some javelin or shot some arrows at Vibhishan, Lakshman would come and intercept them or destroy them. Ravana was so angry, he turned all his wrath against Lakshman. And he had a deadly javelin that he was saving for the worst possible battle. And with all of his might, he threw that javelin toward Lakshman. And it penetrated his armor, pierced his chest, going deep into Lakshman's body. Lakshman fell to the ground. And Ram ran up to him and appeared he was lifeless. Lord Rama immediately started fighting against Ravana. He asked Hanuman and some others, "You take care of my brother. Let me get rid of this 10-headed monster." He fought and fought. And ultimately Ravana had to retreat. Ramchandra placed Lakshman's head on his lap and saw this wound. It was unbearable to see. And the Lord pulled the javelin out of Lakshman's chest and broke it in two and threw it aside. He called to Hanuman what to do. Jambavan. And ultimately they brought the doctor, Shushena. Meanwhile, Ram is speaking to Lakshman. He's speaking to everybody who could hear. That even if I win this battle, there will never be a moment of joy in my life again if Lakshman is dead. Ram was crying. And everybody was watching him. It is a lila in which the Lord was invoking such a sense of need in people's hearts. And Shushena said, in the Dronachala, which is a mountain range in the Himalayas, he said, there is a particular mountain, Dronachala range. He said, and on that mountain is a herb called Sanjivani Karani. If it is brought back here before the sunrise, I may be able to save his life. Otherwise, it's not possible. Now, even with today's best technology, who could do that? Hanuman said, I will do it. The sun will not rise. If I don't get back here in time, I'll eat the sun. But it's not going to rise before I get back. And he jumped all the way to Himalayas. From Sri Lanka. He got to the mountain, and there's so many herbs in the mountains. And he was thinking, if I go back and it's the wrong herb, I'm not going to have time to go all the way back and start, you know, searching for another one. He was so thorough in his service attitude. So completely without ego. When you have an ego, you're limited to your own strengths and weaknesses. But because he was totally surrendered to Ram, nothing was impossible for him. He had such enthusiasm. We were hearing yesterday about enthusiasm. Hanuman, what enthusiasm? Uprooted the entire mountain and lifted it up. And meanwhile, Ravana was sending all kinds of demons to stop him. And he was fighting them off while he's carrying the mountain. And Bharat even saw him flying over Ayodhya and tried to stop him. Not without obstacles. But for Hanumanji, there was no question of maybe or if. He committed his heart to his service. When Prabhupada was going over the ocean on Jaladuta, there was no maybes or ifs. He was going to do it. He was going to execute the order of Lord Chaitanya and his Gurudev. Whether he lived or died was a detail, but he was going to do it. Such a service attitude. Hanuman crossed oceans. Prabhupada crossed oceans.
for the same purpose, to rescue Sita, Sita's devotion. And within all of our hearts, the Sita of devotion is in the Ashoka Grove of Ravana, representing lust and envy and anger and greed and pride and illusion, Maya. Prabhupada crossed oceans and took great risks to restore that devotion within our hearts, to bring our souls back to Ram. So Hanuman brought the mountain, Gandhamadana mountain, and set it down, and Shushena came and got the herb, and Lakshman woke up, stood up. At that point, Ram decided, this is the end of Ravana. He's done this to my brother. Now in the meanwhile, Ram is crying helplessly, what to do about my brother? And Hanuman's the one who goes and saves the situation. And again, the same dynamics of relationships. Hanuman is not thinking, just see, I can do what God cannot do. What to speak of saying, thinking, just see, I am God. In one of my plenary portions as Ramchandra, he couldn't do it, but I could do it. Hanuman was absolutely humble. That my Lord, in his heart, whatever you make me do, I am doing. Actually, in Srila Prabhupada's prayers on the Jaladutta, we are given the essence of every pure devotee's heart in all of these different beautiful scriptural pastimes. Srila Prabhupada is praying to Krishna, I am your puppet. Make me dance as you want me to dance. That was Hanuman. He just felt himself to be Ram's puppet. Ram wanted to give him all the credit. Hanuman's forever famous for lifting that mountain. That is Hanuman's love for Ram and Ram's love for Hanumanji. At that point, Lord Ramchandra said that now let the world know. Whoever hears this, either Ravana is going to be dead or I'm going to be dead. Today his life will end. And anyone who hears this glorious narration is going to be liberated. And the story of this battle and my killing of Ravana is going to be sung as long as creation exists. It was a great battle. Again, Leela. The Lord likes to make things exciting. Actually, he's the Paramatma. What could Ravana do if Paramatma just, you know, took his Sudarshan chakra and started cutting everything up inside him? The Lord could kill anybody in any way, effortlessly. Mahavishnu, he just goes, one inhalation and the entire creation's destroyed. Mahavishnu, all he had to do is just go, and Ravana would have been finished.
from inside, from outside, anywhere. But what a battle. And the reason this battle was of the nature that it appeared was for so many reasons. We can just get a glimpse into a few of them. One is, he wanted to include all these devotees who like to fight, the monkeys, in the battle. They were all risking their lives. Some of them were getting killed for the sake of the Lord. Some of them were performing the most unbelievable heroic activities in the service of the Lord. And most of all, they were all totally, all these hundreds and thousands, millions of soldiers that were in Ram's army, they were totally united in the service of Ramchandra. Totally united, fixed in their consciousness in giving relief to Sita. That's beautiful. Similarly, the Lord, he has given all his devotees this mission of being united to work together to help each other to overcome illusion and to help save the world from illusion. Someone once asked Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, he predicted, Nityananda Prabhu also, that the holy names will be chanted all in every town and village all over the world. Why didn't he do it himself? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such an acharya, he was talking about it. Why didn't he do it? And Srila Prabhupada said they could have done it themselves. But they wanted to save the service for us. And what does that mean? In this battle against Maya, for our own purification, the fight is what purifies us. And when we understand how much we need each other in this fight, then we rise above over all of our petty, superficial, egoistic differences, and we unite for the higher cause. This is the Lord's love to help us. And the Lord takes the greatest pleasure when he sees that we are doing things that are good for each other. So yes, this massive battle was going on. And Ravana appears on his magnificent chariot. And Ravana and Lord Rama is just standing on the ground with his bow and arrow. And Indra sends his charioteer, Matali. He comes down and says, I am Matali, and Indra sent me, and this is his chariot, and this is his bow, and this is his arrows, and come, let us fight together. So in this way, the Lord is engaging so many other people. And all the other people who are helping him, they're serving. But they're serving with deep emotion because they're serving with a sense of need. Hanuman's bringing the Sanjeevani. Yashoda's giving her milk. Indra's sending his chariot. When we perform deity worship, it's with the same consciousness. Krishna is the absolute. Krishna is
independent and ultimately is doing everything through everyone. At least he's empowering everyone according to their free will.
So why we're cooking for the deities? Why we're dressing the deities? No, you know, it's a common thing that a person who's materialistic comes to the temple and they say, what's going on in the altar? They say they're dressing God. And the person will say, can't God dress himself? It's a typical question. I've heard it so many times. Cooking for God. God needs somebody to cook for them? Yes? Bathing God. You know, I'm not God. I could take my own bath. But yet, God actually is in a position where he's in need. And Radharani's in need. They're in because they want to exchange our devotion, because that sense of need increases our feeling of devotion. And it's not just an imaginary thing to increase our devotion. It's something very real. They are actually hungry for our love if it's done with devotion. In Vrindavan, even very, very special guests sometimes will come to the temple. Prime minister or somebody who's willing to give crores of rupees in donation. They come to a temple, I've seen it, and they have to leave in 1 hour. They want to see darshan. And the pujari said, Krishna's sleeping. Well, when does he wake up? He wakes up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, in the evening. But I have to leave. It's only 1 o'clock. I have to leave at 3. Just open the doors. So open the doors. Krishna's sleeping. I can't open the door. Materially, it doesn't make so much sense. But Krishna actually is sleeping. Although Krishna never sleeps. Krishna never sleeps, but he goes to sleep. That's why he's God. You can't do that. He can be fully aware of everything, everywhere, at all times, and at the same time, he can go to sleep and not be aware of anything. Why does he do that? It's an exchange. It's a way of exchanging love. The pujaris in Vrindavan, you know, that's their love. That Krishna's sleeping, and no matter what, we're not going to wake him up until he wants us to wake him up. So when we perform deity worship, either at our home or in the temple, we understand that this is the beauty of Leela. In the story of Gajendra, Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport that Gajendra Lord Vishnu touched Gajendra when he pulled him out of the water while a crocodile was biting into him. And because of that touch, he purified Gajendra. He completely purified him by that touch. And Prabhupada said, similarly, the Lord allows himself to take the form of a deity in which we can touch him. And just by touching the deity, we can be purified, just like Gajendra was touched by the Lord. If it's with proper devotion. If it's with the proper service spirit. This is how kind Krishna is to us. So now Ram is on chariot of Mathali with chariot driver, and they're fighting and fighting and fighting, and what a fight it was. There are pages of pages of descriptions of what they were doing to each other. They were showering each other with all kinds of mystical arrows and javelins and all sorts of other things. And sometimes Ram's body was covered with arrows and nobody could see him. And other times Ravana's body was covered with arrows and nobody could see him. And they would keep fighting and fighting. And sometimes they were crashing each other's chariot against each other's chariots. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So it's time to end, so I'll go fast forward. Ultimately, this fight went on for days and nights continuously. And can you imagine the emotions of all the devotees? Ram could have killed him in a second. But he just staged this fight that went on for days and nights. To increase our emotions, our suspense, our love. It's really amazing, because we know Ram is infallible. He's a chuta. We know he's going to win. But still, I have seen, when devotees read about this battle, they're weeping, they're crying, they're trembling, their hairs are standing on end. It's more real than anything real. This is how bhakti works. The Lord stages in certain ways to have the maximum effect of purifying our hearts and invoking those emotions and realizations of love and surrender. Like the deity. A real pujari worries about the deities. I remember being a pujari myself, and sometimes the temple was being attacked. Attacked by people who wanted to destroy the deities, who wanted to destroy the devotees. And although we know, if Hiranyakashipu can't destroy Krishna, then what's these little dacoits of Kali Yuga going to do to Krishna? If Ravana and the entire Rakshasa army couldn't harm Ram, then what's, you know, a few dacoits going to do to Krishna? But still, because he's putting himself personally in that position of being dependent on us, we feel it. And we have seen devotees risking their lives, giving their lives to protect the deity and going back to Godhead. Because in this form, Krishna's facilitating this relationship of love. At a certain point, Agastya Muni appears before Ramchandra and reminds him that I've given you an arrow. And use that arrow. And And he gave him a mantra, the Aditya Hridaya mantra, to chant with that arrow.
Meanwhile, the fight is going on and on and on. And Ramchandra,
it's time to end this Ravana's life. He took a special razor sharp arrow and it soared through the air and chopped off Ravana's head. Now, sometimes Ravana on the battlefield had all 10 of his heads, but usually he just had one. I guess it's easier to fight like that.
But he was mystical. He could change his form. He can become a one-headed sadhu if he wants. He can be... But most of the battle, it is explained, he had two arms and one head, but sometimes 20 arms and 10 heads. But Ram cut off his head. And all the Hanuman, Jambavan, and all the Vanaras were, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. It was glorious. Ravana's head just severs from his body, falls to the ground. But instantly, another head. It's this. And the other head is exactly a replica of the one that's on the ground. Another head. Ram kept Soon there was 100 heads laying on the ground. And every single head was an exact replica of all the other heads. They all had crowns, they all had jewels, they all had the same eyes, the same complexion. And still, Ravana was fighting with the heads. He didn't even stop fighting as his heads were falling off. He kept fighting. Ram began to speak. He said, these arrows of mine, the same arrows killed Maricha, killed Kara and Dushana, same arrow killed Viradha, same arrow went through the 7 tal trees. Same arrow made the whole ocean boil over. And now these arrows are not... I can't kill Ravana with these arrows. Vibhishan revealed to Ram that within the heart of Ravana there is nectar, celestial nectar. Brahma gave him the benediction that whatever heads or arms are cut off, it's going to grow back. The only way to kill him is you have to shoot an arrow into the core of his heart, and that arrow has to dry up that nectar. Then he will not survive. Anything else done, that nectar will keep him alive. And Mathali reminded Ram that you have the Brahma arrow that Agastya Muni gave you. Would you like to hear the history of this arrow? After Ramchandra, Lakshman, and Sita left Chitrakoot, they were wandering through the Dandaka forest. And eventually they came to the ashram of Agastya Muni. Now on the way, Ram was glorifying Agastya Muni. He was telling them the story of
Agastya Muni's great powers. And one of the stories he told was there were two very cruel demoniac rakshasas. Their names were Vatapi and Ilvala. And they had a really unique way of killing Brahmins. Vatapi had a mystic power. And he'd enter into food. And what Ilvala would disguise himself by his mystic power as a Brahmin. And he'd invite other very, very nice Brahmins to his home and said, I want to feed you prasad. And he'd feed him prasad. But little do they knew that Vatapi was in that prasad in a very mystical little form. And he'd eat it. The Brahmin would eat it. And then Ilvala would say, Vatapi, come out! And then Vatapi would grow in size and just with his claws and everything, just like a ram, just poof, just force himself out of it, break open the person's belly and stomach and tear the person apart from inside out. And the Brahmin would just, his body would be totally mutilated and dead. They did this to thousands and thousands of Brahmins. We have to be careful who we accept prasadam. So one day they invited Agastya Muni for lunch. And they fed him prasad. And Vatapi was inside his belly. And then Ilvala said, Vatapi, Vatapi, come out! The Brahmin who just ate the prasad saying, what are you talking about? Who's this Vatapi? He said, Vatapi, come out, come out, come out. And Vatapi didn't come out. And then Agastya Muni says, he said, by my digestive juices, I've already digested him. Such digestion. He digested Vatapi. He killed him. So then Ilvala was really angry that you killed my friend. So he attacked, and Agastya Muni, he doesn't, nonviolent. He just glanced at him. And through his glance, Ilvala became on fire and died. So Ram was telling the story. This is the power of Agastya Muni. They went to his ashram, and Agastya Muni greeted them, and Ram and Sita and Lakshman, knowing him to be a great Vaishnav devotee, they served Agastya with so much love and devotion. Ram was asking Agastya Muni philosophical questions. He was asking him stories from the Puranas. He was asking his advice and guidance. And ultimately, Agastya Muni understood Ram's, because he could see. He could see the dangers ahead. And he gave Ram a very special arrow. He told him, previously this arrow was created by Lord Brahma. And it was given to Indra to fight the Asuras. And this arrow, which is infallible, was entrusted in my care. And I am giving you this arrow today. And use it at the greatest time of need. And he also gave him the mantras to make the arrow effective. Ramchandra, in his heart of hearts, He remembered Agastya Muni with gratitude, took his blessings, and then pulled the arrow back. That arrow, its shaft was predominated by Vayu. Its feathers were donated by Garuda. The tip of the arrow was presided by the sun god, Surya, and Agni. When Ram pulled back that arrow, he became totally effulgent. The arrow became totally effulgent. The whole world began to tremble when he released it. It made such a sound, more than any rocket ship. It was a beautiful sound, a tumultuous sound. It lit up all directions. Everything in the entire battlefield stopped. And all the millions and millions of soldiers and all the devatas who were watching, they were fixed simply on watching this arrow soar through the air. It hit its target right into Ravana's chest, pierced his heart, dried up whatever nectar was there. Ravana vomited blood. He screamed a ghastly sound that shook the world and fell from the chariot to the ground, dead. Very symbolic. Lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, illusion, they are all personified. Ravana is the personification of these anartas. They are not easily killed. You can be a devotee for 1 year, or 40 years, or 50 years, or 60 years. And you may find that every time you somehow or other restrain your mind and senses from giving in to these anartas, they keep coming back. The holy name is like the arrow that can cut off the heads of Ravana. Yes, we're chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But yet, and we're restraining our senses and following the principles and trying to live a moral life. But still, that lust, that envy, that anger, just keeps coming back. No matter how many times we fight, no matter how many times we chant, no matter how many times we pray, it just keeps coming back. Because the arrow has to go to the heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Trinarapi Sunichena Taror Ibasihishnana Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. When you chant in that spirit, then the holy name actually goes right to the heart of removing all of these anartas. If we could take shelter of the holy name, if we could chant the holy name without offenses, in a truly humble state of mind,
really like that baby crying for its mother. Then the arrow of the holy name will forever remove these anarthas from our hearts. And the path of bhakti is simply to cultivate the proper consciousness in which we could chant the holy names. Ravana was dead. The nature of this world is one person's happiness is another person's sorrow. The Rakshasas were weeping, crying, angry. And the monkeys, soldiers were dancing in ecstasy. Then Vibhishan went to Ravana, got on his knees next to Ravana's bloody body, and cried incessantly, was speaking to his brother. You had so many good qualities. You had so much good fortune. You were so victorious in every way. Why did you give in to lust? My whole life I was your friend, I was your brother, I was your well-wisher. Why didn't you listen? Now look. The whole dynasty's finished, your family's finished. And he cried. So disappointed. Ram told Vibhishan, you should perform the last rites to your brother to liberate his soul. Vibhishan had a hard time with that instruction. He stole Sita from you? He did so many horrible things that cause so much pain to so many people. It's hard for me to do this. Performing last rites is basically worshiping the person. Ram told him that the soul is pure. The soul is all good. It was only his body and mind that were corrupt and sinful. But now his soul is separated from that. There's nothing to fear from him. You should liberate his soul and perform the last rites. Ram told Vibhishan to forgive his brother for everything. In fact, Ram said, because you are my intimate brother, and he is your brother, he is my intimate brother too. Whatever reason for quarrel that we had is finished. So offer him your love. There's no impediment. So Vibhishan organized the last rites and offered the prayers to deliver his brother's soul. That is how Ram taught us forgiveness. That was Ram's forgiveness. He was seeing the disease, not the diseased. He loved the person but hated the disease. When the disease was removed, all there was is love for the person. Mandodari and the other wives were weeping and crying. But Mandodari was so honest and so knowledgeable. In many ways, her words to Ravana are her instructions to all humanity. We all have so much. We all have such opportunity. Why do we waste it all by corrupting ourselves, by giving in to these vices? Ravana was a Brahmin son. He was wealthy. He was powerful. He had a beautiful wife, chaste, faithful. He had everything and more than anyone could want. But he was envious of God. And he fell victim to his lust. And because of that, he lost everything. Similarly, we are all pure spirit souls. And we all have every possible opportunity to attain supreme perfection in our lives and be really happy. We have unlimited spiritual wealth within us. But the downfall is we give in to our mind and senses demands, lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, illusion. And how they could destroy our lives. How we could lose everything we have. How we could lose all these most precious opportunities. And as devotees, we're given so much warning, just like Ravana. How important it is to take these warnings seriously. We see it all around us, even in this world. How giving in to these powers of Maya can just devastate a person's entire life. Materially, socially, spiritually. Mandodari is speaking to Ravana, but she's speaking to all of us too. Because we all have those Ravanas within us. The good dog and bad dog. Ram is speaking, Ravana is speaking. And we have the choice. And this day, Ram Vijayotsava, is the day where we meditate and commit ourselves to following Ram. By taking shelter of Ram, by liberating ourselves from this Ravana within. And if we can just follow Srila Prabhupada and our Acharya's guidance, it is guaranteed. In Treta Yuga, the Absolute Truth appeared as Ramchandra. In Dwapara Yuga, as Sri Nandanandana Krishna. Along Sita and Radha, Rani. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. In the age of Kali, the Lord appears in his name. If with the proper service attitude, if in the spirit that our acharyas have taught us, we can simply chant the holy names of the Lord sincerely, without ulterior motives, and serve sincerely without ulterior motives. Hear these beautiful pastimes in that spirit. Then real victory will be ours. In this spirit, we take shelter of Krishna's holy name.
thank you very much. And now, kirtan. You will lead kirtan? Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.